Welcome to the Flight by Yingling, Chicago Blackhawks radio post-game show. The Philadelphia Flyers cruise past the Blackhawks 5-1 over in Philadelphia. It was game two of a four-game road trip for the Blackhawks. Charlie Romeliotis here in our downtown Chicago studio, and we're going to go right back to Xfinity Mobile Arena to bring in Steve Conroy to help me break down this game, because, Steve, I can't break this down by myself. That was a tough one for Chicago.
Yeah, it was, and it started tough. They're down 2-0, 2.5 minutes in. That's certainly not the way you want to start. And they were self-inflicted wounds. That was, I guess, the worst part of it. You know, the first one was a miscommunication. It looked like, maybe we'll get an explanation after the game, but a miscommunication between Spencer Knight and the rookie defenseman, Artie Levshinov. And then the second one was just a bad turnover by Andrei Burakovsky, and it ends up in the back of the net, and you look up at the clock, and you've played three shifts, and you're down 2-0, that's tough, especially against the Philadelphia Flyer team that is just desperate for points. They felt like they kind of gave one away their last game here a couple of nights ago against the Columbus Blue Jackets. They weren't going to let it happen again. And they tied a season high with 42 shots here tonight. They did it one other time back in November against the Montreal Canadiens in Montreal. They do it here again tonight with 42 shots, and they played a solid game. There weren't many weak links in their lineup, and I thought Samuel Harrison, although he doesn't get many of the starts, he played very, very well tonight.
Yeah, you mentioned the tough start for the Blackhawks. This is the second straight game that they gave up the opening goal in the first minute of the contest. Gave up 48 seconds into tonight. I think it was 49 seconds on Tuesday, so we're 1 second off. I mean, what do you attribute that to? I know Philadelphia is playing, I mean, they're in clear desperation mode, fighting and clawing for a playoff berth, so you knew that they were going to come out desperate, but how come the Hawks can't match that energy? Is it just a young team that's, you know, it's the end of a long season, growing pains for this young team? Like, what do you attribute that to?
Well, you know, a couple things. I mean, you got a bunch of different faces in the lineup, and I'm not trying to make excuses, but, you know, Frondell, just his second NHL game. Tonight it was, you know, Sacha Boisvert with his first ever NHL game. And those are new faces, and they're new guys. You've got to come ready, though, and nothing comes easy, especially in the NHL. And if you think you're going to have an easy night, if you think your goaltender might be able to bail you out, that's not always the case. So I think it's just, you know, the you've got to be really sharp right from the beginning. And sometimes that's easier said than done, but you've got to go into the game thinking, you know what, no mistakes. I'm going to go short and hard and get off the ice and then just slowly get into this hockey game. And like I said before, this game was three shifts old. They're down 2-0, and you can almost see the body language on the bench. I don't think I've ever seen head coach Jeff Blashill as disappointed, especially in this third period. They cut to him a few times during TV timeouts, and we were watching him here on a monitor. He looked really disappointed. So it's a young team, and you know what? They're going to lose their fair share of games, and what he'll stress is, I hope you guys are learning from it, and hopefully they learn from it tonight.
Really, the only positive of the night was Anton Frondell connecting with Connor Bedard for his 30th goal of the season. First time in his NHL career he hits the 30-goal plateau. I don't know if Frondell was intentionally trying to backhand pass that to Bedard. It might have been kind of a whiff wraparound attempt, but on the highlight reel, it looked like a beautiful no-look backhand pass to Connor Bedard, and hopefully that's a combination that the Hawks are going to be having for many years to come.
You know, Charlie, I think you might be right on that. You know, like kind of the spinorama, and maybe he was trying to get it, you know, towards the net, and it just comes off his stick, but it goes right to Connor Bedard. Yeah, Frondell, hey, listen, he picks up his second assist in as many games. He picks up his first minor penalty. Connor Bedard with 30 goals, you know, leads this team now. Congratulations to him. But that was a very small bright spot in this otherwise disappointing hockey game. So, you know, hopefully they take something out of it, though, and it's all about the starts. And, you know, when you play against desperate teams, you've got to match the intensity, and I just don't think the intensity was there. And you've got to generate it, because obviously the playoffs, not totally out of the picture for the Blackhawks, but it would take a miracle for them to get in. But you've got to create your own excitement. You've got to be excited about the opportunity. And, you know, with Frondell in the lineup and Sacha Boisvert, who I think looked kind of nervous. I talked, you know, we talked in the pregame. I thought he looked really nervous this morning. It kind of showed on the ice. Maybe now that he's got that one under his belt, maybe he can play a little freer, because I just thought he was a little tight out there tonight.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you what you thought of him. He only logged 9 minutes and 3 seconds of ice time, which was probably what we were expecting, given that he was on the fourth line and he's on neither of the special teams units. But I think that was probably hard for him, where he's kind of waiting for a week for his visa to get approved. Then here comes Anton Frondell, who his Swedish Hockey League season ends on Saturday. He drops into the lineup right away and kind of gets a taste of it. You know, not he didn't really have an opportunity to kind of think about it, whereas Boisvert, I think that probably maybe benefited him, though, because he was able to get some video work and meet some of his teammates. But I imagine he was kind of itching to get going. So maybe he had to shake off a little bit of rust, too, because he hadn't played hockey, like a hockey game, in 2 weeks.
Yeah, that's true. And I just think having to think about it, that can be mentally draining. And, you know, it was a good 7-8 days that he had to wait for that work visa to come through. And, of course, he's skating with the team and he's getting to know the guys. That all helps. But, you know, there's nothing like playing your first game and the nerves and the anticipation and the wasted energy, really, because you do waste a lot of energy just gearing up for it. But, hey, that's water under the bridge right now. That's an experience he's been through. And, you know, I thought there was an opportunity for him to maybe respond in a physical way tonight, and he didn't. And I'm not going to blame him for it, because it's just his first NHL game. He's new to the NHL. He's barely 20 years of age. He turned 20 just last week. But it would have been a great opportunity if he would have grabbed somebody like Rostolainen, who ran Connor Bedard in the second period, or even Garnet Hathaway. He had an opportunity in the third period. You know, I'm not telling him he should fight, but, you know, just give a guy a glove in the face or give him a little whack in the pants and just see how the other guy responds. And if he drops his gloves, then you've got a dance partner.
Well, you know what we will remember this game for is the first career NHL penalties for both Anton Frondell and Sacha Boisvert came in the first game. So we'll always have that to look back on this game.
There you go. Charlie, I'm glad you're always looking for the positives, and that was the one positive.
All right. Well, the one positive, too, is we're going to get right back at it tomorrow. So the Hawks are able to kind of get rid of the bad taste out of their mouth. And it's against two bottom feeder teams, the Blackhawks and Rangers. At this point, they're kind of just battling for draft position. But it's encouraging that the Hawks are able to get right back at it tomorrow and kind of just move this one past them right away.
Yeah, the coaching staff definitely are going to be thankful that they can cleanse this one from their system. And it comes against a good team, too, because, you know, the New York Rangers, I mentioned they've lost six in a row. They're kind of reeling right now, and they don't play very well at home, not like this Philadelphia Flyer team. So an opportunity to get right back on track. You can forget about this game and the painfulness of this game with a big win at MSG tomorrow night.
All right, let's do it. Steve, safe travels to New York, and we'll do it again tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks, Charlie.
All right, that was Steve Conrad over at Xfinity Mobile Arena. Just a really tough start to this game for the Blackhawks, giving up two goals in the first couple minutes of the game, and didn't feel like the puck management was great. You know, obviously there was the miscommunication between Spencer Knight and Artem Levchinov on the first goal that happened 48 seconds into the contest. You had the second goal. Andrei Burakovsky had the turnover that led directly to the Sean Couturier goal. Just a lot of things kind of piling up for the Blackhawks. Even like, I just thought they had some giveaways in that first period that kind of filtered into the rest of the game for the Blackhawks. And I want to mention this about the poor start. So Hawks were on the road, whenever it was last week when they were in a week and a half ago when they were in Vegas, and the Blackhawks had a practice scheduled for the game before the Vegas Golden Knights, but they picked up a huge win against the Utah Mammoth. I say a week and a half ago. It's actually 2.5 weeks ago. The schedule all blends in my eyes. So the Hawks had back-to-back overtime wins against the Utah Mammoth, including the one against that was in Utah. They had a practice scheduled for Friday in Vegas, but the Blackhawks coaching staff rewarded the team with an off day in Vegas, and a lot of the guys went golfing. It was a reward by the coaching staff, and the Hawks end up coming out with a stinker in Vegas, and they lose that game 4-0, and it was a really tough start for Chicago. Fast forward to a couple weeks later to yesterday, the Blackhawks had a scheduled practice in Philadelphia, but they end up canceling it. And I don't know if it was because of a reward for the 4-3 win over the New York Islanders, because the third period certainly got hairy for the Blackhawks, where, I mean, just felt like if the Islanders had one more minute of play, they probably would have tied that game. Or maybe it was just load management reasons that the schedule is just so compact that the Hawks had ice reserved yesterday in Philadelphia and just elected not to use it. But it was another slow start after the coaching staff, quote unquote, rewarded the team with an off day after a big win. And so those things start to pile up a little bit where the coaching staff does that. They'll reward players with off days, but the expectation is that better be reciprocated by the players to make sure they are ready to go for the next game. And this was the second straight instance over the last couple weeks that the Hawks had a really poor start after a practice got called off the day before because of a big win. So just something to think about moving forward, like that needs to be reciprocated by some of the Blackhawks players, particularly the younger guys that you know need to, you know, recognize that the coaching staff is you know, doing that specifically with the trust that they will deliver in the next game. And so something to monitor again moving forward. We'll see how the Blackhawks respond tomorrow against the New York Rangers. But I wasn't crazy about the start, especially given the fact that the Hawks had an off day yesterday. And so they should have come into this game with a little bit of fresh legs. And now they're going to have to play a second of a back-to-back tomorrow, coming off a really tough loss to the Philadelphia Flyers. So we'll see how the Hawks respond to this. We do have sound rolling in from the Blackhawks locker room. I saw that Connor Bedard spoke to the media. He's kind of essentially going to be the next captain of the Blackhawks. So this is, you know, kind of him stepping up in a leadership role where he's going to have to answer for some of these tough losses as the face of the franchise. So we'll hear what Connor Bedard and some others had to say when the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
Del Mastro along the left boards, whips it down behind the net. Crevier along the right wing half boards. DeFrondel back in the net, feather right circle, Bedard shoots, he scores! A no-look backhand pass from Anton Frondel as his feet were right on top of the goal line, right next to the Flyer net. He just whipped the backhanded pass over to the right circle, and there was Bedard to bury it for his 30th goal in the season. 3-1 in favor of the Flyers.
Back on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks routed in Philadelphia 5-1. There were really only two highlights in this game for the Blackhawks. The first was that Patrick Sharp graced us with his presence in the radio booth in Philadelphia, or at least with John and Steve. Sharpie, by the way, he works for helps out with the Philadelphia Flyers front office department. So, I'm glad it was cool, I imagine, for them to see him. And then the only other one was the Blackhawks Anton Frondel connecting with Connor Bedard for Bedard's 30th goal of the season. Connor now overtakes Tyler Bertuzzi for the team lead with 30 goals. Bertuzzi, they were in a two-way tie, with 29. And then how about this? Bedard now 30 goals. It's the second most goals in Blackhawks history in a season for a player that's aged 20 or younger. He ties Eric Daze, who did it in the 95-96 season. First on that list, Jonathan Toews, who had 34 goals in the 08-09 season. So with a few weeks left, we'll see if Connor Bedard is able to get 34, maybe even surpass 34. Ironically, Jonathan Toews is going to be in town in 5 days here at the United Center. So we'll see if Connor can extend that goal output at the end of this season. And let's go to Connor Bedard now. He was one of the guys that spoke to the media after this one, a 5-1 loss to the Philadelphia Flyers.
Scary to see that with Louis there in the third period.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, I didn't see it, and then I just saw him in the room, so... You know, you never want to have something like that happen to someone. So, but he looks, he's doing good. And, you know, whenever something happens to you, obviously you're just hoping for the best. So, it was good to see him after, and, you know, he's talking and stuff. So it looks good right now, which is good.
Yeah, obviously had a tough start like last game, but it didn't seem like you guys had the bounce back like you guys again, like you did against the Islanders.
Yeah, I thought they, you know, played a little more intense than us. I thought we didn't really match that for whatever reason, but obviously kind of something that, you know, we got to do better and just kind of, you know, learn from that. And when you play teams that, you know, every game for them is do or die, you know, they're going to come out hard and, you know, we gotta have the same urgency.
Rondell assisted your goal there. Is there any excitement for you personally kind of playing with him more and just seeing him play more at all?
Yeah, he's looked great so far. You know, it's a quick turnaround for him, you know, fly in, play right away, and but he's handled everything great. And, you know, I think I'm a little frustrated myself. I think I could help him out more. I probably haven't played my best since he's been here. So, you know, you want to make it as easy as you can on any new guy, you know, coming in. So we're just going to keep trying to do that. But, you know, he's doing everything right. He's playing well. And, you know, it's fun to see him here and making an impact.
The outcome you wanted, the 30 goals, where does that rank for you just as far as personal accomplishments?
Yeah, honestly, I haven't really thought about it at this point. You know, when you're in a game like that and, you know, you're down and you score one, it's obviously more just hoping that it creates a little momentum and it's not something you think about as much. But, you know, it's obviously, you know, if anything, positive. So just kind of try to keep put myself in positions to get chances. And, you know, obviously it's a great play by Franz there to get it to me.
I know you're not making excuses, but as young as you guys are and implementing two new guys in the roster, are some of these, I guess, inconsistencies maybe just the reality of this sometimes too?
I don't know. You know, like you said at the start there, we're not going to, you know, give ourselves outs or anything. But, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I think for us, you know, we have a lot of importance in these last however many games, whether it's for the playoffs or not, you know. And I think we're tired of kind of being in the spot we're in April where, you know, we're not obviously forced motivation. It's the NHL. We have a lot of pride, but, you know, just finding that. And we got to stay motivated and stay on the gas because these games are really important for us with our age and the group we have.
What do you think of Sasha today?
Yeah, I thought he looked good. You know, I think he had a couple chances and made some nice plays. So, you know, like I talked about with Franz, it's fun to see you guys come in and the excitement they have and impact right away kind of. But, you know, I thought he looked good and, you know, him and Franz are only going to get better.
I know you mentioned you weren't that happy with your game. Anything specific right now that you don't feel like you're doing well enough?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think today especially I thought the Islanders in the third, we just got kind of worked. So no one would say they had a good third, so that kind of, you feel that a bit at the end. But just I think today lost a lot of battles. You know, I talked about kind of our intensity, and obviously I think I can, you know, help be a spark for our team in that sense by, you know, winning battles and not hitting, but just getting in there a little more, I think. I was reaching a little too much, so just use my legs and, you know, win some more pucks. And I think, you know, like I said, with Franz, that'll make the game easier for him. Not that he needs it, just, you know, a new guy. So, like I said, it helps.
All right, that was Blackhawks forward Connor Bedard. First off, encouraging to hear the positive injury news on Louis Crevier, who left this game late in the third period after taking a skate blade to the face. I think it was Nick Seeler, as I'm looking at it, and he was, man, he just rushed off the ice and straight to the locker room, and a lot of the guys were just sitting on the bench, and they had no idea what was going on, and then we saw the replay, and it looked really scary and really ugly. And so the fact that Crevier was chatting with the guys after and seemed to be okay and seemed to be in good spirits is a really encouraging sign, given how that injury looked initially. All right, how about this? So coming into this game, Kyle Davidson has made 11 first-round draft picks in the last four drafts, and Sacha Boisvert was the eighth player of those 11 that has officially made his NHL debut. The only other three that haven't yet, Merrick Van Acker, who just led the OHL in goals, and then Vaclav Nestrosil and Mason West, who were the two other first-round picks in the draft class last year with Anton Frondell, who are likely going to make that in several years. They're still a little bit a ways away, but man, the future is starting to come and be the they're starting to show up here in Chicago. And Boisvert was just the latest to make his NHL debut. Let's hear what Boisvert had to say after his first game with the Blackhawks.
Obviously, not the result you guys wanted, but how would you describe your first game?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, just being able to be out there with all those guys, it's a great experience. And then it's kind of gives me a guideline on what I know and what I don't know in the system and everything. So it's gonna be fun. You know, just watch some videos and everything. It's a lot of fun.
What jumped out? Anything that just you could tell a difference with right away?
Obviously, you guys are bigger. Just look like men. I would say that's the biggest part.
You had that sort of breakaway opportunity. Is it nice to at least get a chance, even though it didn't go in?
Yeah, 100%. Just for a shot on that. There's a first to everything, and that was fun. That kind of gave me some momentum there going in the third.
What was it like when doing the lab? What was going through your head?
It was a lot of fun. Just looking around, looking at all the people here, and just kind of knowing it was my moment. It was awesome.
How was this game with Slacker and Tabo on that fourth line?
Yeah, it's fun. You know, there's guys kind of mentors helping me with talking to me on the bench and everything, getting me going. And yeah, it's a good time.
All right, that was Sacha Boisvert talking about his NHL debut with the Blackhawks. Not much to show for it. He just logged 9:03 of ice time, had a couple of shot attempts, laid a hit, and also took six draws, only winning two of them. So I imagine his ice time. Oh, and he committed a penalty, but that's a welcome to the NHL moment. I imagine his ice time will grow a little bit as he gets acclimated to this Blackhawks roster. We got more to get to here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio post game show, including post game press conference coming up from Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. That's coming up next on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show, Flight is the next generation of light beer. The Hawks fall to the Philadelphia Flyers 5-1 over at Xfinity Mobile Arena. Time now to look at tonight's ice times, sponsored by Rogers and Hollins, the most trusted jewelry store in America for more than 115 years. Artem Levchinov was the ice time leader for the Blackhawks. 22 minutes and 20 seconds of ice time. I didn't think he had the greatest game, but I didn't feel like a lot of Blackhawks didn't have a great game in this one. Wyatt Kaiser finished second at 21:54. Alex Vlasic was third with 20 minutes and 38 seconds of ice time. No other player finished with more than 20 minutes of ice time. All right, Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill spoke to the media just a little bit ago. Let's hear what he had to say following his team's performance from this 5-1 loss in Philadelphia.
Connor said that Louis seems to be okay.
Yeah, I think Louis is going to be just fine. Obviously, got skate up in the face, and so had a cut that I think at first he thought it was, you know, we all thought it might have been worse. It was thankfully, I think he's going to be just fine.
The team performance, another tough start, and it seemed like they weren't really able to get back on track after that.
Yeah, I mean, we made, you know, a couple tough errors that end up in the net, and so then it's a grind. Now you got to really, you know, now you're fighting momentum on the road. I thought we clawed our way back a little bit and then made another couple tough errors, and now it's a real uphill battle. So, you know, I just thought collectively we didn't have enough guys close to their best. It's a hard league when you don't have that. It's part of what I think we're learning is, you know, how to have your A and then your B-plus game, and so it's just part of the process.
And that first goal, was that a... Did you get a sense of miscommunication or just Spencer reading that?
No, clear miscommunication. Clear miscommunication. So it was, it's unfortunate. It's a tough way to start the game. But that's what happens sometimes.
It seemed like there was a theme of defensemen stepping up in the neutral zone and getting burned for it.
Yeah.
Was there something systematic that was leading to that? Or?
We've talked about tighter gaps and gapping, and you know, that might have led to our guys kind of running north instead of lateral gapping. We want to be a tight gapping team. We want to get up in the zone and want to forecheck as a five-man unit, but we can't run up like we did at times today. So it's just probably a little bit of a kind of, again, like a learned process of that balance of gapping and being tight and knowing when you don't have help and knowing when you're running north, you can't run north.
What do you think of Sasha's game?
Yeah, he did a good job. You know, he didn't obviously play a ton, but, you know, in the bit he played, I thought he did a solid job. You know, it's a hard game and you're not on either special team to get to kind of the floor. I think he played 9 minutes. But I thought he did a solid job.
What did you make of Findell's second game?
Yeah, again, I thought Anton played well. You know, he's you can tell he's really, really strong on the puck, can really shoot it, and is a smart player. You know, they weren't, you know, I still think there's more there on that line, but I thought he played real good.
All right, that was Blackhawks head coach Jeff Blashill. First off, I want to mention the Louis Crevier injury again. Good news that it sounds like he's going to be fine. And it's important too, because the Hawks went into this road trip with just six healthy defensemen, because Matt Grizzlick is done for the entire road trip after getting injured in that home game right before the Hawks embarked on this 4-game road trip. And the Hawks didn't call up another defenseman, which is interesting because they usually would like to kind of bring up an extra guy on the road trip in case of a situation like if a body goes down or if there's, you know, maybe an illness that runs through the team and the Hawks need to kind of make a last minute change. But encouraging to see that Louis Crevier is going to be okay, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be unavailable for tomorrow, but I'm sure we'll talk to Jeff a little bit more tomorrow and get a firm update. But and then last thing I wanted to say, I didn't have time to talk about this in the pregame show, but the Philadelphia Flyers and the Blackhawks are kind of on opposite ends of the spectrum when we're talking about the points. Philadelphia now has 82 points on the season. The Blackhawks have 67, so it's a 15 point difference. But if you look at the regulation wins, Philadelphia has 22 wins in regulation. The Blackhawks have 20. So Philadelphia went into this game with 21. Hawks had 20. So essentially a one regulation win difference. Where Philadelphia has separated themselves from the Blackhawks is two areas, but they're both in extra time, overtime slash shootout. They've played in five more overtime slash shootout games versus the Blackhawks. So Philadelphia has played 25 games in extras. Hawks have played 20. But the Flyers also have a much better record than the Blackhawks in overtime and a shootout. Philadelphia is 13-12 in overtime and a shootout this season. Hawks are 7-13. So Philadelphia essentially has six more wins in overtime or a shootout, but they also have five extra points by just getting to overtime and a shootout. And so, man, like, I think a lot of NHL teams moving forward, and maybe this isn't anything new that I'm saying, but it feels like every time I do, like you hear my intermission updates and you see around the NHL, feels like so many games are going into overtime and a shootout. And I think once the Blackhawks start to get to being like perennial playoff contenders, or even as soon as next year, they really have to prioritize just trying to get to extras, and then what you do in 3-on-3 overtime and a shootout is making sure that they kind of reverse the record that they currently have. Like, if you flip the Blackhawks record in overtime and a shootout to 13-7 instead of 7-13, like, they're closer to a playoff spot than they are at the bottom of the NHL in standings. And that's exactly what's happened with the Philadelphia Flyers, who have a negative goal differential this season. They're at -6. And coming into this game, they were -10. And so that's not really a sexy goal differential. Like, they've been kind of been world beaters. And so if you're the Blackhawks, I think the Hawks are going to try to, I imagine that's going to be more of an emphasis going into next year, is making sure that they're not leaving those extra points on the table, because it really is the difference between being closer to the bottom of the NHL in the standings and closer to a playoff spot. And so we'll see if the Blackhawks do kind of take advantage of that next year. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show after this on 720 WGN. Back here on the Flight by Yingling Chicago Blackhawks radio postgame show. Tough one for the Blackhawks in Philadelphia, so we're not going to spend any more time on it. Let's dive into a Blackhawks prospect update and check in on our next generation of players, sponsored by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Update on Roman Kantsarov, second rounder in 2023 from the Blackhawks, who's currently in the KHL playoffs with his team, and through two games so far, he has 2 goals and 2 assists for 4 points after a historically good regular season for the 21-year-old, where he had 64 points, 36 goals, 28 assists in 63 games. He is picking off right where he left off in the KHL playoffs. Time now for tonight's next game preview, sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Hawks are going to be right back in action tomorrow, same time, 6 o'clock, 5:30 pregame show against the New York Rangers at Madison Square Garden. And boy, are the Rangers having a tough season. Probably, I'd say the most disappointing team in the NHL this season, given the fact that they went out and got Mike Sullivan from the Pittsburgh Penguins and hired, you know, a top two coach in the NHL. The Rangers are 0-5-1 in their last six games. And on Monday's game against the Ottawa Senators, they had 9 shots on goal in the entire game. I think the NHL later added a 10th one, so it ended up being 10. But in that game, they had 9, and then they later got added 10th. I mean, they've had a really tough season, and they are right now 31st in the entire NHL. So the Hawks are 30th. So we got a real barn burner on our hands tomorrow. But I will say the New York Rangers, they have just 9 home wins this season, 19 wins on the road, 9 wins at home. That's the second fewest in the entire NHL. So an opportunity for the Blackhawks to get back on track against a struggling New York Rangers team. Blackhawks hockey has been sponsored by Sitco. Score savings on every fill-up with Club Sitco. Download the app now to start saving. United Airlines, your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, and Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. That'll do it for our broadcast tonight. Big thanks to our on-site reporter. That's next week. Our production crew of Jack Heinrich and Alan Poppy, they were led by our engineer, the fearless Colonel Brett Jackson. For John Weideman and Steve Conroy, who brought you the call, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 5-1 loss to the Flyers. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.